You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So what do you think about livability in New Zealand?
I think livability in New Zealand is pretty good. Some things are slightly too expensive, like rent and housing. But other than that, I think it's generally pretty fantastic.
Expensive.
Really expensive?
Yeah, very expensive, like stupid.
I think it's actually good. New Zealand's a good country to live in.
Well, it's difficult, I would say, financially. Otherwise, it's fair enough. I think education for the younger kids especially could be improved.
I think it's pretty good, apart from like public transport and renting.
I guess it depends on if it's Auckland or the rest of the country. I mean, I assume once you've got a house, at least in my position, it's all right to live in, but definitely food costs and living costs in Auckland are too high. Yeah.
What parties do you think are doing the most for livability across the board?
National.
I would like to say Labour, but I think they're making too many promises that might not be met, so can't really decide at the moment.
Probably Labour, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so would you say National are not doing enough?
Yeah, like especially with housing, I think, yeah, it's pretty shitty.
In terms of young people, definitely not.
In terms of livability across the board?
In terms of livability across the board, I guess, yeah, more could be done, especially in terms of house prices, yeah.
Cool. Is there any policies that stand out to you in this election that you think are cool or not cool?
The main things for me is for young people's livability, for instance, a universal allowance or like a large increase on that, because the 170 something that it already is not really enough to live on anywhere almost.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Ruben McLaren had a chat with Moira Lawyer from LifeWise Charitable Trust, a community social development organisation that works with families, the elderly and children with disabilities, and they also deal with social issues such as homelessness. How New Zealand ranks in terms of livability. So he talked to them about that. He started off by asking her about the current climate of livability in New Zealand.
New Zealand is a very hard country to live in currently. It has growing disparities. There's a housing crisis. I think it's a very expensive country to live in. Anyone who's spent time overseas returning to New Zealand will comment on how expensive it is. I think one of the major issues that New Zealand is grappling with, particularly in Auckland, is the cost of housing, and that, of course, has a huge impact on livability for people.
And just focusing on families here for a minute, UNICEF brought out a report earlier this year placing well-being of New Zealand's children at 34th out of 41 in developed countries. And in terms of inequality, New Zealand ranked 26th out of 41, meaning that the share of income that goes to the top 10% of households with children is nearly 20% higher than the share of income at the bottom. How does this translate to how families are living in your experience?
It means that families are taking all sorts of shortcuts in terms of their children's health and well-being, visits to the doctor, visits to the dentist, you know, the ability to clothe children well in winter, the ability to feed them nutritious food. You know, it's very tough for parents to survive in our economy if you're on low wages.
And those that do work, say, on the minimum wage, for example, do you think that is enough?
Well, it might be enough to survive in some parts of New Zealand, but it's certainly not enough to survive on in Auckland. You would have heard the story this morning about the family that have ended up in a leaky building in Manurewa, can't be given a loan by the bank and are likely to lose their housing. And this is happening again and again.
So what do you make of Labour's increase or proposed increase to the minimum wage?
I think the minimum wage has to be increased. I mean, our preference would be to see a living wage provided in New Zealand. You know, we are actually a first world country of some wealth. And I don't know if people have seen the article that Shama Bill Yakub put out over the weekend, but it is about how we distribute the resources in our country to make sure that everyone has sufficient.
So you don't think a change from 1575 currently to 1650 is enough?
I think we have to start moving in that direction, but I think we also need to be really clear about what do families need to actually to ensure that they can raise children in healthy, warm, well-nourished environments. So yes, increasing the minimum wage is important, but it will need to keep going up, I think, to really meet the needs of families.
So looking towards the election at the end of this week, which parties do you think are wanting to do the most for livability in terms of housing, education and inequality?
Well, of course, all of the parties will say that those things are important. I think, people need to do their research in terms of what kind of changes do we need to make to our economic system to ensure that resources are fairly shared across the community. And you know, I think that was the point that Shama Bill Yakub was making, that you can't expect a fairer society without things like a fairer tax system. And so, there aren't easy answers to these issues. It's taken us a long time to become as inequal a society as we are, and we will have to do some serious work to improve that. I don't want to tell people how to vote, but I would certainly encourage them to do their research.
Well, what policies do you most agree with?
I personally, as somebody who works with homelessness, I think the capital gains tax is important. I think a national strategy to address homelessness is really important, and actually there are a number of parties behind that now. I think serious steps to address the housing crisis are really important, and that will be a range of things in terms of investment in new housing, in terms of improving people's ability to pay rent, through increased benefits and increased wages. So there are a lot of things that are going to be important to really to improve people's situation.
So in terms of capital gains tax, what do you make of Labor's recent announcement of not imposing one at least until the next election?
I think Labor was responding to a strong campaign from National that we can't afford to elect a Labor government. I don't think that's true. I think New Zealanders can afford to pay more tax. You look at countries, the obvious examples like Scandinavia, countries like Norway, where people have an extremely high standard of living and pay high taxes. So, I think Labor is working really hard to convince New Zealanders that they can and should be the next government, and all power to them, but I will be surprised if we don't have to bring the tax debate into the mix. And I guess that's what they're saying with the Tax Working Party: let's have the conversation, let's be clear about the kind of society we want and how we get it. But I would be really surprised if capital gains tax didn't come up really quickly in that conversation.
So going to the other side of the fence now, do you think the National Government over the past 9 years has done enough?
Well, I think if we're talking about homelessness and the housing crisis, I think they were slow to respond. I think they have a philosophy where they wait to see whether the market can correct itself. And I think it is now pretty clear in housing that that isn't going to happen. That in fact the market will do the opposite, the market will continue to speculate on housing. So I think it is an area where government intervention is quite important, and that's not easy in the sort of National Party policy framework.
We've heard the current government talk about the significant growth that New Zealand has had, but with looking at these figures, clearly something has gone wrong here, with New Zealand ranking 34th out of 41 and 16% of children living in jobless households. Do you think the New Zealand public and our most vulnerable have gained from this growth?
I think you'd have to ask them. I think the jury is still out on that. And these, these are quite deep issues around the structure of the economy, around who owns the growth, around how many of our companies are multinational companies, around the level of tax that they pay. They're really big issues in terms of how much of New Zealand's economy do New Zealanders own and control, and how much of that growth ends up in our system rather than in other people's systems, and how we make sure that the growth is seen across New Zealand, not just in the big cities. And also, some of the questions we might want to ask is, what do we trade off to get that growth? A lot of our growth is in the growth of dairy, and of course we're paying a big environmental price for that, so there are always trade-offs.
So currently I'm just looking at the top lists of most livable cities. And it has, according to the one I'm looking at, has Auckland at number 8. What do you think about that?
I think that's really interesting. I think the livable city program, you know, looks at things like its attractiveness to visitors and the amount of green space and access to the coast, and all of those things are important, but, you know, it's not livable when people can't afford to either buy a house or pay rent in Auckland. And that, you know, there are so many people now working in Auckland who are actually commuting from outside of Auckland because it's not affordable.
Yeah. So, in your opinion, are these problems the responsibility of the government, or is it now, should it be in the private domain for charities such as you and the City Mission, et cetera, to look after?
I think absolutely the leadership needs to come from government. I mean, something like a housing crisis is not, you know, there's no silver bullet. You can't do one thing to solve it overnight. It requires central government and local government and the business community and others. But the leadership has to come from government, and it's not in any way appropriate to assume that the NGO sector can start addressing issues that have really resulted from government shortfalls over many decades.
Would it be ideal for you to be, let's say, the government handled everything and basically you'd be out of a job, say, we didn't need charities? Do you think that would be ideal?
Absolutely. I mean, who wants to be spending a significant amount of time and energy and anxiety dealing with homelessness? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that we can't house our citizens. And agencies like ours, I don't think we'd go away because, you know, we work in and with communities, and people in communities want to be involved in things that support and help each other. But it'd be really nice for that to be at the kind of you know, at the strength-based sort of promoting and supporting community resilience rather than having to do stuff that feels much more at the emergency end.
In the context of this coming election, is there anything else you'd like to add, Moira?
No, except vote. I mean, I've heard a number of people say, particularly to student voters and young voters, vote early, because if there's any problem with your registration, you've changed address or whatever, they can only sort it if you vote early. If you leave it to the day and you turn up and you've got the wrong address or whatever, your vote's discounted. So go early, unless you're crystal clear that all your details are sorted. Go and vote early, and then you can make sure that it'll count.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.